Live life to the fullest with the wife of your youth. Those are the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 9. What a great piece of advice that is. Welcome once again to What's It All About? Thoughts on the book of Ecclesiastes. What is interesting, as you are probably aware, especially if you have followed me with my thoughts on the book of Ecclesiastes over the last number of sessions here, and that is that Solomon is looking at life on earth, and he's making observations about that with a very specific sort of approach, and that is, what is life, what can we observe about life on earth when we just think of life apart from God? And even though we're not yet at the end of a book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon at this point, towards the end of chapter 9, or in the middle of chapter 9, he sort of sets that aside momentarily, and he gives us essentially what is his conclusion of the whole matter. We will touch on that again, and we've already touched on it somewhat as we talked earlier. But it is simply this, that we have been put here on this earth to enjoy life. We ought to live it to its fullest. We ought to do what God has set before us, and we ought to do it without fear. I think I've probably said that a number of times, but it bears repeating. We do not need to live in fear, whatever the situation might be. Yes, we use common sense. We protect ourselves. We may need to, even at times, put certain things off because the time is not right. There are roadblocks in the way, but we live life as God has given it to us. Keeping in mind, again, the theme that has been repeated again, and that is that God is, of course, sovereign. God has fully determined everything that is going to happen in our life. Now, we're not puppets on the string. We don't just simply wait for God to push the buttons and pull the strings and everything's going to happen. We have responsibilities. But it does mean that we can move forward. It does mean that we can move forward with our lives. We can enjoy life. We do know that our life is limited, so we do not want to waste time. You know, I'm getting to that age where I can begin to say, now, boy, I wish I would have done that, or I wish I would have done that in my younger days. Once we are in the grave, we can't redo it. That's a reality we need to be aware of. You cannot do it over. The question is really, in the end, not who was the swiftest or counted more accomplishments. I had more checkoffs in this thing or that thing in their life. It is who served God and did so as he should. God is good. Life under God is good. His blessings are abundant. We should enjoy them. I hope you enjoy yours. Thank you. You know, the Bible really does put a high premium on wisdom. And as we find ourselves in our culture today, more and more being taken over by basically paganism, we find that there is a greater and greater need for wisdom. Solomon observes life under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes. We are this morning looking at chapter 9, or the latter part of chapter 9. So welcome to What's It All About? Just some comments I've been making on the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember, Ecclesiastes is a book in which Solomon is simply making an observation about what life is like under the sun. He tells us a picture this morning, or in this portion of Ecclesiastes, kind of a view of life. And what he talks about is that there was a certain small city in which a very powerful king came and besieged it and overtook it. And that brought great harm, great danger to life for the citizens of that city, except for the fact that there was a poor man who had, in one way or another, doesn't tell us how, but this poor man had applied his wisdom and actually saved the city from the situation. But here then is the thing that Solomon observed, and he again calls this an evil. This is part of life under the sun. And that is that because this person was a poor man, though his wisdom saved the city, he was not recognized. People did not remember the poor man had saved them. He's not considered to have anything to contribute, as typical sort of approach to the rich and the popular are the ones that are important. The poor man, well, what could he offer? And so he's pushed aside and he's not remembered. But his wisdom was helpful. And it was even more helpful than the power of the king. So, what do we learn here? What's important here about wisdom? It's not necessarily that which is recognized. It's not necessarily that which is important is the person who is put on the pedestal and say, here's a really, really wise person, we want to honor him. What actually makes a difference is the person who quietly applied his wisdom, and it was helpful in the world around him. I think this is an important lesson in life for us. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity. You're kind of like the poor man. You're not important. You're not recognized. That should not keep you from using your wisdom. You don't just say, well, I ought to be really wise and I want people to benefit from my wisdom, but I want them, first of all, to know that it comes from me. That's not what's important. What's important is that your wisdom. It wasn't important to the city that the poor man was remembered. What was important is that his wisdom saved them. We have a world in which there is a great deal of folly. Let's be very clear about that. Wisdom is important in the life that we live. And so here's the reality. There's a lot which is not fair. Keeping in mind, when I say we live in a world of great folly, folly does bring damage. Wisdom brings good. Not always in precise manners that we can measure them, but generally, wisdom is needed. Folly is not helpful. We should not be surprised, on the one hand, that when those who are not the popular, those who are not the rich, those who are not the considered by society to be the important people, even when they might offer great wisdom, they're not recognized. We see that on the news media all the time. And so the poor man is not given due credit, yet his wisdom is important. And I think the lesson for us, apply your wisdom. Seek wisdom. Wherever you might have an opportunity, whether it's a small little way, it is important, it does have an influence, and may never be recognized, but that's not the important issue. You should still follow and use wisdom, gain wisdom, apply it in your life, and it will be good, not only for yourself, for your society, for your neighborhood, for your country even. Do not give up. So Solomon would say to you this morning, don't give up. Just because the news media doesn't recognize the right wisdom, don't give up. Apply your wisdom, live your life, and make a difference in your life. We are now ready to turn to chapter 10 in the book of Ecclesiastes. In this chapter, the author, Solomon, deals with some practical issues concerning the application of wisdom. Welcome to What's It All About? Some thoughts on Solomon's observation about life under the sun here, that is life on earth as it functions, as it happens, and even to the point that Solomon seeks to do his observations, that he seeks to look at life as simply from the perspective of not bringing God into it. Obviously, that cannot ultimately happen. So what are some practical things that he says about wisdom? And he says he observed an evil, and it is simply this, that sometimes, even though, let me say this first of all, wisdom produces good and folly produces danger. If you just look at life. Whatever you do in life, there are things when you do something and you don't use the best wisdom, you'll suffer some consequences from that. Not 100% always, but often that is the case. The same is true from the other perspective. So in this chapter, Solomon mentions a number of just very practical aspects of life. And the observation really comes down to this. And that is that when you do something and you're not careful about doing it wisely, there's danger involved. And due to this reality, the various pursuits in life, something we ought to take seriously and remember and learn. Whatever you do in life, just your daily activities, driving your car, pursuing business, there is an element of danger involved. If you don't do it right, if you don't apply all of your wisdom. Solomon says he who digs a pit might fall into it. He who uses an axe to chop wood might get hurt. Or if he uses an axe that is dull, he's going to have to work twice as hard. There you see the application of the lack of wisdom in terms of life itself. So if you drive a car, for example, how do we apply that to us today? Let's take some examples in life. You're going to make a trip. You're going to drive a car. There's always the potential there that that car breaks down halfway through the trip. Or you start a business. It might not go well. If you work hard at something, really put everything into it, there's the potential for some danger in that. And the business not being successful. None of us can avoid the folly of life. I think that's the lesson here. It's a reality. Again, remember, Solomon is looking at life and he sees all of these things. A guy is digging a pit and he falls into it and gets hurt. It's the reality of life. There are no guarantees that everything will go well for you. If you fail to apply your wisdom particularly, it will enhance the negative consequences. Wisdom is needed. That's the conclusion that we can draw. It's a very practical conclusion. Wisdom is needed. Wisdom has ultimately to do with your relationship with God, etc. But it's not just on sort of a high intellectual plane. Very practical applications of wisdom. You get in your car and you drive from one place to another and you don't have enough gas put in it. You were foolish taking the trip. You're going to run out of gas and you're going to have to deal with that consequence. That's life. No one has perfect wisdom. No one ought to expect to go through the various things of life and never have any consequences on the negative side of things. And so, we need to seek practical wisdom. We need to put it into effect in all that we do. And we need to learn that there is always a need for wisdom. There is no one with perfect wisdom. And we deal with the consequences of life as we apply them, whether wisely or foolishly. Let's talk some politics. That's a favorite topic of many today. I want to talk to you about what Solomon observed as he observed life on earth in the book of Ecclesiastes. Welcome to What's It All About? My thoughts on Solomon's observations from the book of Ecclesiastes. We are looking at the latter part of chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes this morning. Solomon talks about a child king, or a king like a child who ruled his nation. And the nation suffered accordingly. What does he mean by a king like a child? A child is someone who's only obsessed with himself, who is only interested in what he can get out of it for himself. Such a king puts his emphasis and his rule is not helpful for the people. They suffer accordingly. On the other hand, a king who is not like a child rules in such a way that his people benefit from his rule. Well, note that Solomon finds that in this observation, if a king does not tend to his duties, if king is not governing for the sake of his people, then he is being like a child. Yet Solomon warns to be careful what you say. When you observe, okay, my king is like a child. My king is like someone who is not really thinking about his people. He says, be careful. The king might just hear you. Now, of course, this is in his world where you had absolute authoritative kings who did not care about life or death, and you could be in great big trouble in a hurry if you said something about that king. What can we learn? We don't have authoritative kings, at least not to that extent. There still are some laws that keep our civil authorities somewhat in check as to what they do, although we do, I think, see the consequences fairly quickly when our civil authorities lead in a way that is not good for the people, but is only good for themselves. We are still able today to have some input, and that's fine, that's great. But I think there are some cautions that we can learn. First of all, understand that yes, there is civil government that is sometimes according to a child. And we may find ourselves in that. You may think that's the case right now. I don't know. I'm not making that conclusion necessarily. But if you find yourself there, if you can have an input, that's great. But the conclusion that I would draw is that, first of all, it should not surprise us. That is life under the sun. That's part of what Solomon observed. There are civil rulers who don't care about their people, that only rule according to the foolishness that a child would rule. But what about the caution? We are able these days to speak about things in ways that back in the day of Solomon they could have never even dreamt about. We can put things on Facebook. We can do all kinds of things. But be cautious. It's easy to say things very quickly and then be misunderstood or perhaps have said something we should not have said. But I think the bigger caution is this. Use the opportunity that you have, but when you find yourself under the rulership or under the guidance of a foolish government, remember that our king is not the civil authorities of the land. Our king is Jesus. And we can get caught up of wanting to address everything that is going on in politics and making a great big issue, and we lose sight of the greater concern, and that is the kingdom of Christ. My caution to you is put your effort into making sure that you are not a child in the kingdom of Christ, making sure that you are used by God. Yes, God's kingdom is to rule over his church, and through his church in this world, through his son who is on the throne. And yes, God even there uses men who sometimes do foolish things. We're not perfect. But let's let God ultimately take care of the foolishness of the civil government. Let us be sure that we speak to and we advance the kingdom of Christ. Preach the gospel, make known the truth of the gospel. Of course, the gospel has applications for every part of life. So there again, you have the opportunity. But let us be sure that we don't end up like the world, acting foolishly like a child.